the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
This episode of the Sound Off Podcast is made possible by Core Image Studio. A modern sound.
For modern broadcasters.
Sound design. Audio branding.
That cuts. Branding that breaks the mold. For radio.
Syndication.
And podcast. Get your brand sound in the now.
CoreImageStudio.com.
Hey, Jason, did I hear right? You got a podcast coming?
Yeah, it's going to be launching on Wednesday. You know, the one thing that kind of threw a few things into whack, I went out to Radio Row planning to do some things, tape a few things, and started out on Wednesday with, you know, something that was going to be geared towards that. And then all of a sudden, the Entercom CBS purchase happens, and I'm like, oh, shit. I got to adjust a few things here now, but that's okay. It'll make it more topical and timely. So I'm working through a couple things.
Yep. Welcome to podcast.
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle. Broadcast talk in sound off mode.
This week, it's our biannual chat with Jason Barrett from Barrett Sports Media. He joined us at the beginning of the NFL season, and I thought it'd be a good idea to get him on at the end. He's going to debunk the myth of those declining NFL ratings, those empty seats you see at the sporting arenas, and the simple formula to programming success on sports radio today. Three words, play the hits. This episode is brought to you by PromoSuite and the cloud-based paperless studio system, PromoSuite Next. For over 25 years, you've known PromoSuite as radio's original promotions management system, helping promotions teams and programmers manage their contest winners, liners and sales requests, remotes, prize fulfillment, and a whole bunch more. If you're going to be at Canadian Music Week, CJ Rocco and Rachel are also going to be there to answer your questions. Today, over 2,500 radio stations across the United States and Canada use PromoSuite Next to control the chaos and reduce the paper and reclaim the time you really want to spend creating great campaign concepts. Remember, every time you're messing around trying to read someone's handwriting, that's time you can't get back. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff.
The Sound Off Podcast streams three times a week at In Radio. To hear shows like this one, hit them up at nrad.io.
The Super Bowl marks the end of the NFL football season, and there is no better time than the present to check in with Jason Barrett from Barrett Sports Media. He launched his company over a year ago to help sports media brands maneuver their way through these digital times. And you don't need to be in sports radio to enjoy this episode. This is all about how sports media evolves in that sea of digital change, something that affects everyone. Jason joins us from Barrett Sports Media HQ in New York City. You spent last week in Houston at the Super Bowl pre-gaming on Radio Row.
You know, a lot of stations bill it as Super Week because you can't use the term Super Bowl. But yeah, it's Super Bowl week, Radio Row, you know, the whole kit and caboodle with that.
Is it important for a radio station to be on site for that?
You know, like I wrote a piece on it a few weeks ago, and, you know, my take is, first of all, if you're looking at it as a opportunity to make money, if you don't have the revenue, I can understand not going because it's an expensive cost. On the other hand, if you have sponsors who are footing the bill and you're making money, why not go? You know, it's a good credibility bullet. There are some brands that will go because this is their big annual marketing. They want to make the brand look big, you know, whereas maybe they're not buying TV or social media marketing or anything like that. So this is where they put their money, and that makes sense too. So it really depends on the market and the objective of each station. I can see, you know, when I was in stations, to me, you needed to be there. It was a credibility bullet. But on the other hand, now that I've been out of the station for a year and a half, I could understand why a company says, do we want to spend 20 grand on this if we're not making any money and the ratings don't go up? I totally get it.
Super Bowl ratings were down just slightly for the second year in a row. Is that something or nothing?
I don't think it's a big deal, to be honest. I mean, look, when you lose some notable faces, you know, if you look at the last 5-10 years, you've lost Brett Favre, you've lost Peyton Manning, Tom Brady was gone for the first four games of the year. Even the Dallas Cowboys had lost Romo, even though at the end of the year it looked great with Prescott. Nobody knew what that was going to be in the beginning. And a lot of those games were blowouts. But if you look at the NFL compared to the rest of television, it still dominates TV. Now, they're a prisoner of their own success. They're being measured against, and at some point, the bubble was going to burst. They're not going to keep, you know, gaining 5-10 ratings points every year. I do think that there were some things that I think the election for sure captivated people and put them into other viewing habits. I think the Kaepernick anthem protest probably turned off a few people. Not to the dilemma, though, that it, you know, sent the NFL spiraling to the point where they weren't going to be productive in business. So I understand some of that. I think the main thing that they need to look at is the level of commercials inside the game and the competition. And like, especially on Thursday night, you look at some of the matchups taking place on Thursday. They're abysmal. Nobody wants to watch Cleveland and Jacksonville on a Thursday night. So they're going to have to, you know, regroup on some of those things. But the bottom line is it's still one of the most dominant forces on television. And so, you know, you go to any other sports league with this problem and they'll gladly take it.
Is it consistent at radio as well?
Yeah, I mean, radio still does well, really well. I mean, you go to most stations, there's reasons why they're spending big money on play-by-play rights, because not only does it generate ratings, they generate revenue. You know, it's also marketing with clients, being able to take them to games. That stuff's got massive appeal. I'm sure there's a handful of markets. You know, you go to L.A., maybe they don't have the same kind of impact that Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or New England are going to see. But the bottom line is the NFL produces wins for brands, and radio is no different. Obviously, TV is a lot more magnified because it's got, you know, national reach when you're running games and you're going to play in a bigger audience. But yeah, radio is still doing real well with it.
You just mentioned L.A. Is there room for the Chargers on the radio in L.A.?
Yeah, there will be, but, you know, the level of interest, I think it's going to take them time. They're looking at a complete rebrand. They may as well just be an expansion team in that market. There is any continuity they had in San Diego is gone. And they're going to a city that would rather have the Raiders there, which will never happen because the Rams don't want them there. The NFL doesn't want them there. Except nobody there is looking forward to the team arriving. So they're going to have a lot of work ahead of them over the next 5 years. I mean, I don't get crazy off of the first year because I think it's easy to overreact when something first takes place. Let's see where they're at in the next 3 to 5 years. But for year one, yeah, they're going to be facing an uphill climb, and it's probably not going to be pretty.
You're the perfect person to answer this question because I know you've got history in the St. Louis market. But we've seen the Rams move. We've seen the Chargers move. What happens to your local radio station when a sports team leaves town? And what should you do about it?
I think a lot of that also depends on the market. Like, if you go back years ago when Cleveland lost the Browns, you know, that was always a great sports market, and people rallied behind each other, and the station did well. I can tell you, you know, in St. Louis, I built 101 ESPN, which was the Rams affiliate, and it, you know, gained a lot of notoriety from that relationship over the years. However, when the team left town, there was some concern that, okay, the station's probably going to take a step back. Well, it didn't. And they're actually up year to year. You know, a lot of that comes down to the talent you have on the air and the way you position a brand. And in 101's case in St. Louis, they built their station around big personalities and around local sports content. The Cardinals still drive the bus in St. Louis, always will. So because of the interest in the Cardinals and the Blues, and because it became a rallying cry for everyone, the personalities weren't abandoned, which is important. But if you go to some other markets, I mean, I can't speak to what the situation will be yet in San Diego, but the Chargers were St. Louis's Cardinals. And when you lose your main brand, that can be a massive challenge, especially if you're in a market where, you know, San Diego, from a rating standpoint, wasn't as strong as St. Louis. So that's one that might take a massive, you know, chunk out of what they do. But nonetheless, I think, you know, if you look at, I'm sure in Seattle they stayed strong when the Sonics left. Cleveland stayed strong when the Browns left. St. Louis stayed strong when the Rams left. A lot of markets can overcome it, because it is still about entertaining an audience who's on the way to work, you know, to or from work most of the time. But no question, you lose some cum, and you, you know, potentially lose some revenue opportunities when you don't have a football team in your market that once was there.
There's not a ton of minor sports radio stations out there, so where are you going to get the next sports radio star? Where are they going to come from?
Oh, they're all out there. I mean, the... You know, a lot of these guys, the next star, it's like, for example, if you look at Fox Sports 1 right now, and people are now becoming familiar with Clay Travis, Nick Wright, and Joy Taylor. All three of them were on sports radio stations in the last 5 years. Clay was hosting afternoons in Nashville on 104.5 The Zone. Nick Wright was on 610 in Houston, and prior to that, 610 in Kansas City. And Joy Taylor was on 790 The Ticket in Miami. And now all three are gaining national, you know, credit for what they're doing. And it's because they had talent. And people are willing to go outside the box to identify talent and give them an opportunity. I mean, there are a lot of people out there on local stations today that have the ability to take another step. It's never, to me, whether or not there's talent. It's whether or not people are willing to roll the dice to give somebody a bigger platform. You know, just because somebody's talking local sports in, whether it's St. Louis, Miami, New York, Pittsburgh, L.A., the only way you know if they're a national star is to put them on a national platform and find out. Katie Nolan got a break. She's now massive. And so all it takes is, obviously, you got to make sure that somebody's got the work ethic and the ability to prepare and to be compelling. But if you can identify good talent, you give them the platform, they're going to rise to the occasion. I mean, even Colin Cowherd, who's on top of the world right now, went to Bristol from Portland, Oregon. You know, it wasn't like he wasn't out there. Somebody just had to give him a shot.
It appears that many sports, they've hit the glass ceiling when it comes to attendance. There's a lot of empty seats in the stadiums. Is that a problem for leagues?
I mean, look, it's not a good look on TV. I don't know about you, but when I watch a 49ers game or a Rams game, and I see a third of the building empty or even half, yeah, it's a bad look. I think the reality is people would rather stay home. They would rather watch on TV. They've got their phone in their hand where they're not dealing with Wi-Fi issues inside a stadium, so they can check their fantasy team. If they're gambling, they can check their prop bets. They can read what's going on Twitter and interact in conversation. Just more enjoyable. Plus, by the way, the most important thing, it saves them money, which everyone seems to be a fan of these days. You know, I do think that, you know, I heard something interesting a few weeks ago where Bleacher Report were doing a test on NBA for future NBA broadcasts, where they're using high school broadcasts, high school basketball games, to test out new technology, like, for example, kids playing a game with cameras on their shoes, rolling out a red carpet for introduction. And obviously, then, you know, they wouldn't go to an NBA game tomorrow with this technology and with this approach. But their plan and why they're doing it is to recognize the fact that, look, you need to create an event to get people excited to want to go to the contest or to even put it on television in the next few years. I mean, just the days of, you know, a play-by-play guy and a color analyst may wind up becoming, you know, exhausting in the future. That's why some of these networks are testing out players working together on games. And so to answer your question in a long way here, when it comes to the NFL, there's going to be a time in the future where they're going to have to do more at a game than just present the game. There's going to have to be some other form of entertainment taking place. I mean, look at last night's Super Bowl. Lady Gaga's halftime show had as hot of a buzz going as the actual game in the first half. And so I'm not saying it gets solved with music performances, but they're going to have to look at what are we doing here to make this an entertaining presentation beyond just what takes place on the field, especially when they're charging the ticket prices and parking and the food money that, you know, everyone's facing when they go to a game.
It does affect TV ratings, those empty seats. You look at it on TV, it just doesn't look important. And people, yeah, they're no question.
I mean, yeah. I don't think it's a good look at all for the league. They, you know, they're better off filling those seats with, you know, whether it's ticket, you know, ticket brokers, partners, whoever. But reality is, if people don't show up, the NFL teams, they're going to survive regardless whether the seats are filled. They're getting so much money from media deals that they can live without the attendance being massive. But at some point, you don't like that look for your product.
And people do want to save money. And if they're not doing it by not going to the games, they're going to be doing it at home. And broadcast rights are going up on a very heavy incline. And there's cord cutting going on because people want to save money. Is traditional media in danger because fans are going out and they're doing app purchasing?
I think media in general is stronger than ever. I do think I think everybody's looking for an opportunity to save money and continue to get the same experience. So whether you watch a football game on Twitter, PlayStation, Xbox, or on your television, you're going to look at it in the future and go, hey, I just want to see the game and spend as least amount of money as possible. So if I can do that by watching it on Twitter, I'm going to do that. I'll sacrifice some quality of my television for the convenience of saving money and still getting the experience. And so I think a lot of these brands, like if you look at it, the NFL being consumed on Twitter, for every person who is watching there and not on TV, when people bring up TV ratings being down, well, there's a natural conversation there to say, of course the ratings are down. People are watching in other places. But the bottom line is the interest hasn't changed. It's just it's being fractured all across these multiple platforms. And the NFL, or any league for that matter, and including networks, that's why you see ESPN, you know, wanting to make their product available in all these locations. They recognize that it's got to be about reach. And it's got to be about being available anywhere and everywhere, because that's ultimately how they're going to make money long term.
I feel very un-Canadian saying this, but I don't watch NHL hockey until February. And I think there's a lot of NBA fans who are in the same boat. And so for sports stations, does each station turn the page on the NFL season sort of the same way? And they have to sort of skew regionally to NBA and NHL, and then it's on to March Madness?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, you know, there are exceptions. Like, for example, if you're in the Bay Area or if you're in Cleveland, where LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, you're, of course, going to be a little hotter on those on the NBA than, you know, waiting till February. But you go to a lot of markets, the NFL is so red hot. The World Series takes place in October. Most of the focus from a sports standpoint, even college football, it's dominated by college, NFL, and baseball in the fall. And once the Super Bowl is over, then people start shifting their attention heavier towards the NBA and the NHL. I can tell you, look, in most of the sports markets I've been in, from Philadelphia to, you know, growing up in New York to St. Louis to San Francisco, the NHL, from a sports radio standpoint, doesn't even become a big topic of conversation literally until the playoffs. And even then, when I was in New York early on, you know, when Mark Messier was leaving in the offseason to go to the Vancouver Canucks, that was huge because the guy had brought a Stanley Cup to New York. But if you look back at the previous seasons when Mark was playing with the Rangers, people weren't talking about that on radio every day. It became a big focus come playoff time, handful of times along the way, you know, during the season, just because he was a good personality and a well-respected player. But the conversations dominated on the airwaves by football, baseball, college football, and then national stories and just lifestyle events. I mean, that's what most of the audience consumes. You know, even the NBA, which is going to get more recognition than the NHL in the States. You know, there will be those times when Carmelo Anthony wants to be, you know, had his meeting with Phil Jackson and there's discussion about being traded. Okay, that's a 1 or 2 day conversation. But if that was Aaron Rodgers saying the same thing, that conversation would exist for the next 3 weeks until he got traded. So it's just a different focus as far as content is concerned. Those sports, not that they're not important, but from a sports radio listening standpoint, they command less attention than the NFL, baseball, and college.
Do you have a top-line approach to NHL hockey that you advise your clients on?
Honestly, it never really comes up. Most of it is, you know, it depends. Like, for example, if I was working with a brand, you know, in Toronto, it'd be a different conversation than it would be a brand in Miami. You know, it really comes down to what the market's appetite is for the sport, for the individuals playing it. You know, if people care, like, my approach is always figure out what your audience wants and give it to them. It's not really that difficult. It's like going into a steakhouse. You don't go into a steakhouse looking for Chinese food. You go in there for steak. And so if you know what your market's appetite is, you know, in St. Louis, it's the Cardinals. Well, why are you going to sit there and focus on the Blues 90% of the time when you know that they're coming there for baseball? So, you know, the old term in radio speak is play the hits, and it may sound cliche, but it really is about playing what the audience wants and making sure that you sound engaged and interested in it. So from that standpoint, if a hockey story becomes big in the local market, if there's, you know, and I don't go by attendance, you know, people sometimes will bring up, well, they're sold out every night. And my counter to it is 15,000 people in an arena in a market with 7 million isn't enough to convince me that we're going to be talking about it, because I can show you that SpongeBob SquarePants sold out the arena. I'm not going to talk about that on radio. Show me what the ratings are. Show me what the audience feedback is. Show me what the revenue interest is from clients in that product. And then we have a different conversation. So right now look, NHL most of the time is not a big focus in the States. You know, give or take a couple exceptions, maybe Pittsburgh, maybe Detroit. St. Louis has a bigger focus on it now since they lost the Rams. But a lot of markets, they're gonna focus heavy on football and then baseball and then, you know, whatever the national or lifestyle stories are that their talent are involved in or interested in.
That analogy of SpongeBob SquarePants, by the way, it's a good one. I remember trying to convince a program director that we needed to get on Soundgarden sometime in 1992. And then I said, you know, they got 4,000 people who showed up for the concert. And then he pulled out the math and said, put 4,000 over the 200,000 that QMR radio station. And that's not a very big number all of a sudden. So,
yeah, well, I had one time back when I was first programming a station, one of my producers in a unspecific market had put on a bull rider. And I said, what are we doing with a bull rider on at 12:15 in the afternoon? This is when people are taking their lunch break. People are coming to us to hear about what's going on in the world of sports because they haven't been able to listen while they're at work. And we're talking to a freaking bull rider. And he said, well, you know, there's going to be 10,000 at the event. I said, yeah, there's going to be 10,000 going to see SpongeBob. There's going to be 10,000 wanting to see Barney on Ice. And there's going to be 10,000 watching arena football. I don't see us talking about those things either. Play the hits, man. Here are the 1, 2, and 3s that we need to be delivering. If you're exhausted with it, start working on finding a new angle, because that's what people come to us for. And it's, you know, it can be exhausting because you get tired of talking about certain things. But the reality is the audience isn't listening the way you're presenting. They're listening when they listen. And when they come your way, they expect to hear about the things that they care about. And so sometimes you may feel like a parrot repeating things, but you got to find different angles inside the same story. Like today, Super Bowl, there's 15 angles off that game, and you've got to present them, and that's how you keep the story fresh for multiple hours.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Cundall.
More with Jason Barrett in just a second, and a really fascinating way he has managed to keep his company out in front of all his potential customers. This part of the Sound Off Podcast is brought to you by Pepper Prep, a radio show prep service since 2014 with over a decade of on-air experience. It focuses on topical on-air content to better your show. On-air, online, or podcast, all for an affordable price. Pay-per-day options for those who need the occasional prep. And although it's based in Canada, there are clients from Dubai, the UK, Cayman Islands, and the US. They also offer podcast editing, podcast air checks, and social media consulting to better your social media presence. Sign up now for a free trial at pepperprep.com. You know, two of the things that Jason Barrett does really well to keep the sports media industry engaged with what he does and what his company does, a podcast, which he just launched, and the Barrett Sports Media Awards.
Well, it's fun. I'll tell you this, it's fun when it's done for me. It's exhausting putting it together, but ultimately, what it is, each year I try to work with a lot of high-ranking members of the industry to come up with who they feel represents the best morning, midday, afternoon shows in the sports radio format. We also do top program directors, top stations, and then the top national shows. And so one thing that used to be frustrating, when I programmed you know, a couple publications would do an annual top 20 or top 50 or top 100 on various stations and personalities. And most of the time, the feedback that was received during those lists was never from the industry. It was all outside the industry people, some of it influenced by business dealings or compensation. And it's frustrating to those on the inside who, you know, let's say, for example, you're in St. Louis and you do a 10 share and you feel like, wow, we're on fire. We were top spoken word station in our market, top 21 market in the country, probably among the top 5 to 10 rated stations in the format. And then a top 100 comes out and you're nowhere to be found on the list. And you look at it and you go, what are we not doing right? And nobody can provide an explanation. Well, I'm not telling you that the industry votes correctly all the time, because the one thing about our business is it's very subjective. Everybody's got a different taste, access to different information. And so what I've tried to at least do is, hey, I'm going to involve CBS, iHeart, Entercom, MS, Beasley, Hubbard, every broadcast group I can think of, and try to balance it as best as possible, even the national networks, ESPN and Fox, and have them vote on it. Because to me, these are people who are running stations or companies, and they know which of their brands are performing and which ones aren't. And not that we get it perfect, because, you know, it depends on who's consuming the list. Some will be happy they're number one. Someone will be complaining that they're number 20. But I try to at least say, hey, look, this is a collective snapshot of the way the sports radio industry views its best products, you know, from stations to brands to people. And so that's what we do, roll it out for 6 days. Started last Monday, finished up today with the top stations in America. And the one thing I did a little different this year compared to last is I try to put the focus on splitting it up between major markets and what I call mid-markets, which are essentially markets 21 to like 100. And the reason for that is when you lump all of them together, what you often find is you could be on top of the world in Nashville, Columbus, Cleveland, St. Louis, Charlotte, but when you're compared to New York, LA, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, you'll never get recognized. And I learned that last year. And, you know, look, if you're a station doing a 16 like the Zone does in Nashville, it's hard to sit there and say you're not one of the best stations in America, but because of market size, you get ignored. So I did that differently this year, and it seemed to work out pretty well. And the bottom line is just recognizing people for doing quality work.
Jason, thanks a lot for speaking with us today on the Sound Off Podcast.
love bringing you on twice a year. Love seeing you whenever our paths cross around North America. And it's just very refreshing to see someone with a sports radio approach to all things sports radio.
Always enjoy catching up, Matt. Appreciate the invite.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel.
And now, the Sound Off Podcast presents... Yup, there's a podcast for that.
We're all on our own journey to reach what we call success and to live a happier, healthier life. We're also busy and we don't have time for fluff. The Beanstalk Podcast gets that. Released every weekday in 3 to 8 minute episodes, Glenn, Meg, or myself, Derv, will give you an idea, concept, or information to consider incorporating into your life, whether it has to do with fitness and health, being more efficient, reaching your goals, or just feeling better overall. All of these ideas have been researched and or tried out by one, if not all three, of the Beanstalk crew. Some of these can really shift things in your life in a big way. They have for us, and we're really excited to have this platform to now share it with the world. So, does this sound like something you'd be interested in? Well, check us out on all major podcast platforms, or you can like the Beanstalk's Facebook page, and you'll get daily posts on new episodes that are up. The Beanstalk. New ways every day to keep you winning at life.
You're telling me that someone made a podcast about that?
Yeah, we were stunned too. With over 350,000 podcasts out there, yep, there's a podcast for that.
And that's the podcast for this week. My thanks to everyone at PromoSuite. Please check out their cloud-based paperless studio system, PromoSuite Next. Go to promosuite.com/soundoff, or you can click on the link on my show page. And speaking of the show page, please check it out. There are links to Barrett Sports Media, Jason's blog, and his new podcast.
The Sound Off Podcast was produced by Evan Serminski and recorded in the master studio of mattkundelvoice.com. Please rate and review episodes. It will help others find the show. To advertise on the podcast, email soundoff@mattkundel.com or download a rate card from the website and follow us and like us wherever great social media content is shared.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com.
And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.